And we are live on Blog Talk Radio for Panther Zone. I'm your host, Jeremy the Impact York, which of course means we are brought to you by the lovely people at Impact Media. Guys, take a bow. They can see you because we're on the radio. Of course, we got tons we want to get into, but I got my special guest on the line today. So without further ado, I want to bring him on because I think you guys are going to want to know all about him. He, of course, is one of the main guys from Primetime Sports. He is Jared GQ Oliver. How you doing, Jared?
Why? What's up, Jeremy? Thanks for having me on. I like the GQ part. I take pride in looking as best as I can. At least I try to.
Exactly. And I definitely like that in people that they try to, you know, you don't have to dress totally up, but, you know, at least be, you know, confident what you're wearing. And you definitely like to do that. I think at times we try to rival each other to see who can outdress the other one.
Oh yeah, man. Well, you know what they say, man. It's like if you look good, you play good. So in this industry, that's my version of playing. So, but yeah, man, I think sometimes like when we see each other or in the press box or in the field or the sidelines, you know, it's always like, wow, that's nice, man. I might have to step it up next time.
Yep, and I actually just got some stuff in the mail that I'm adding to this year's repertoire, so fair warning on that.
Okay, so I think you're telling me I need to go to the store. That's what you're telling me.
I think we need to win the lottery so we can actually afford to buy really nice things, but we do pretty good.
Yeah, I'm making it work right now. That's what I'm doing. I'm making it work.
Exactly. Fake it till we make it, right?
Hey, absolutely. All the way.
But, yeah, it's great to have you on. And, you know, today's episode I titled First Impressions. And I didn't know if you had quite picked up on why I may have called it that or even that I had called it that. But the weird thing about all of this – well, here we go then. The weird thing about all this to me is you're actually the fourth primetime sports guy that I've had on of the whole group of us. You're kind of one of the last ones, which just – it was odd in how it worked out that way. But First Impressions is all about you were actually the first person that I met and kind of befriended once I started covering the team. So, you know, I was just going to say I appreciate that you put up with my random ramble, you know, nature and probably my quirky goofiness at the same time. And we have a pretty good time at these games.
Yeah, Jeremy, I actually remember that. I think it was at the Georgia Dome when we were covering the game and – I think we saw each other down on the field, and I think we, like, exchanged some messages, and then we realized that, oh, that was Jeremy, and I was Jared. yeah, and, you know, it's been fun. You know, we've been covering this team and having fun with it, and I'm glad I got to meet you, and I introduced you to myself, and, you know, it's been fun, and I, you know, I always want to make people feel like everyone knows everyone, you know, when you're doing this, because, you know, we spend long hours. You know, basically talking about sports and stuff like that. So it's good to build some sort of relationships, and I'm happy for you and you doing your radio show and all these things.
Yep, and I'm definitely happy for you and all your successes as well. Yeah, we do spend a lot of time together. That's what we've kind of got into with having David and Caleb and, of course, Rashad on. We all talk about the things people don't know is that at Media Row it stays about 64 degrees or so all the time. So, I mean, if we could, we would build a bonfire. It is freezing up there. So sometimes we sit a little closer than people normally would.
Yeah, man. I don't know why they do that. I guess to keep maybe the germs down. I don't know what it is, but yeah, you should bring a jacket every time you come.
Absolutely. Not only do we do it to dress for success, but we're usually freezing about halftime. That's why we all get up and move around a lot.
Yeah, you know, your muscles get tight and stuff like that, so you got to keep moving around, especially me. Like, I'm frail, so I get goosebumps easily, and then I eventually just want to go home. But, you know, I can't do that.
Yeah, I think we all kind of get to that point occasionally. But, like I said, you are from Primetime Sports now. What all do you do with Primetime Sports?
Oh, man, what don't I do? Basically, what I do is I am a reporter, correspondent, an anchor. I help a little bit with even the videography, the producing, the editing of the show. And pretty much all of us, me, Nathan, Rashad, David, the whole gang, Caleb, and we have a new guy as well, Toby. we basically cover all the sports. Now, of course, we all specialize or have more knowledge in other sports than one may have in the other. But pretty much, we pretty much cover as much as possible in the city of Atlanta, and sometimes maybe even out of the state of Georgia. We've even went to a couple of games to cover those. And David just recently, he's working on a package right now, a story about a women's football team. And so I think that's going to come out soon, and that's going to be pretty interesting. But, I've also done – I've done radio, 88.5, for GSTV, RAS, WRAS 88.5. We had a show in the summer called Primetime Sports Radio, and Homer De La Fuente, he co-hosted with me on that, and it was a sports talk show, and we just talked about sports, and we had fun with that, and yeah, that's some stuff I've done, to say the least.
That's definitely awesome, and I can see that you do well in those media platforms, because like I said, I'm a fan of your work for sure, and yeah, that thing you're talking about with David, I saw kind of the teaser trailer a few minutes ago that he posted up about that. I had no idea there was a outdoor women's league even in the state. I'm friends with Jen Welter, who's made the headlines because I actually covered the indoor team that she used to play on and coach on. So, you know, I talked to her about some of the stuff, but I don't even know if she knew there was a league here.
Yeah, it's really interesting because I had no idea when he told me he was working on it. I was thinking that he was covering the LFL, the mm-hmm. Lingerie Football League, and I was like, oh, my gosh, he doesn't really want to cover this. He just wants to go and get a free seat, a good seat. But he told me, and he explained it to me, and he said that there's actually a women's football league, and one of the teams are in Georgia. And I kind of did a little research just to see what it was all about. And, you know, they play football just like the men do. You know, they knock each other out, and it's pretty interesting. It's just, of course, it's not the, you know, what we're used to seeing, but it's just ironic that they had a football team that most people don't know about in Georgia. That's, you know, a women's football league. And I think it's pretty interesting, and I'm really anxious to see how it turns out.
Yeah, me too. I guess I'm going to have to see if they got a couple games coming up and maybe try to check that out because, you know, we do have – through some mutual contacts of mine, I have spoken to some of the players from the Atlanta team, from the LFL, the Atlanta Steam, I believe they're called. And I mean, those girls can play too. It's just obviously the uniforms they wear kind of give them a weird reaction from the crowd. But I mean, I might have to check out this outdoor league. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I'll check it out if I can one day. He wanted me to go with him, but I was kind of busy at the time. But, hopefully one day it'll come around.
Yeah, I'm right there with you on that. It's, I mean, you never know. You actually went to Lithia Springs High School, correct?
Oh, man. Yes, I did. I went to Lithia Springs High School in Douglasville, Georgia. I'm one of those kids that just did not really like high school. I don't think I liked it because of the school I went to. Not to knock the school, shout out to Lithia Springs High School. But, you know, I was just one of those kids, you know, it's kind of like, where do I fit in? I was the kid, you know, that played sports and, you know, had the cheerleader girlfriend and kind of kept to myself pretty much.
What sports did you play at Lithia Springs?
Sophomore year and freshman year, I played basketball. And my junior and senior year, I played football my freshman year. And my junior and senior year, I played I ran track and played football as well. So, I was a three-sport athlete. As you can tell, I'm definitely not playing anymore. But, yeah, those were my hobbies and that's what I did in high school. I thought I was going to the NFL, but you know how that works out sometimes. Sometimes you have a reality check. You know, you have to find something else to do because, you know, everyone's not an athlete at that level.
Exactly. I think we all kind of learn at some point maybe that the level we're trying to might just be a little bit tougher than we thought. So instead, we just talk about it for a living.
Yeah, exactly. That's my way of staying around it. I was, you know, when I came to Georgia State, when I transferred from Georgia Military College, I was basically asking myself, well, how can I stay around sports? So maybe I should try, you know, being a sports journalist. And, you know, here we are today.
Absolutely. And I was going to get right into that. You actually started at Georgia Military College. What were you going there for?
Oh, man, crazy story. Well, actually, while in high school, I was applying to so many different schools and universities trying to get in. And what's crazy is, oh, man, I was the worst test taker ever, I think, in the history of high school students, man. I mean, I couldn't pass a test to save my life. And my test scores, my ACT scores and SAT scores were just they were just insanely bad. And so I was basically applying to schools, trying to get into a school. And, you know, me and my mom became so frustrated because I kept getting denied. And my dream school was to go to UGA, but, you know, I missed that by a little bit and I couldn't get in. So basically my mom gave me the option of going to military school. And, you know, if you don't want to go to the military, then, you know, I wasn't up for it. I was like, I don't want to go to this school. It's boring. There's probably nothing to do there. But eventually I had no choice because I wanted to go to school. So I enrolled, and, you know, the first day there, you know, I had the mindset, like, I completely hate this. I want to leave. But, you know, I stayed there, and I worked through it, and I really became a student for the first time. I was eager to learn. I was excited about learning and studying. Math completely kicked my behind every single day. Like, I wanted to cry almost every day. But, yeah, I went there. I got my associate's degree in math communications. And then after that, I enrolled into Georgia State, and when I got to Georgia State, I tried to get involved in as much as I could, you know, as fast as I could, and, you know, here we are right now.
It's crazy to me, though. I need to check and see if Caleb transferred in, too, but you and David and Rashad all came from other places to the broadcast journalism field here at Georgia State. I mean, you could almost say that they've either done a great job of recruiting you guys, or this is an up-and-coming field that could really start booming when they realize, you know, the talent coming out of here.
Yeah, man, it's like Georgia State recruited all of the potential journalists that want to be successful, and it's funny how we all ended up here almost at the same time. Me and Rashad, we came in at the same time. He came in from Valdosta State, and mm-hmm. You know, when we first got here, you know, the communications program wasn't as they didn't have as many resources as we probably wanted them to have as far as the whole broadcasting, telecommunications thing. So we were lucky. We had ran into a friend named Jamal Goss who wanted to begin a sports show in November of 2014, and he had the idea of getting some reporters together and, you know, practicing speaking on camera and doing interviews with the players at the basketball games and stuff like that. So we got this small sports show. We had no idea what we were doing. The very first thing we covered, it was about I think it was me and maybe two other people who went to GSU. I think it was Jam Night, GSU Jam Night, where, you know, they do like the, you know, the girls and the men. They have pretty much kind of like an all-star game, kind of. GSU Night, I think that's what it was called. And, yeah, so we were, like, pulling players to the side, interviewing them. We had, like, the worst camera angles. We pretty much were not prepared. We were just kind of going with the flow and trying to do what we see on TV. And, I mean, ever since then, you know, we've gotten better each day. We've gotten better and improved in speaking and being articulate and polished and working on our writing, and it's been fun. I've really enjoyed it. These guys are like my brothers. I'm sure they feel the same way about me.
I believe they do. I believe they've all said it, whether they don't say it to you or not. You guys all kind of stick up for each other, and you're always encouraging each other. And like I said, whether you guys tell each other or not, you're always talking about, hey, did you see that piece he did? Did you see that piece she did? Hey, she's doing something really cool. You guys are always helping each other out.
Yeah, man, we have a good time in the offices and in the editing room. We have some, we argue a lot, but it's always fun. It's never anything disrespectful or anything to offend someone, but you know, it's in the newsroom, yeah, it gets kind of crazy sometimes. You know, sometimes we have to kind of calm down because, you know, the doors are open and people can hear what we're talking about. So, but it's fun overall. We all have a good time.
Definitely so. And we're on with Jared GQ Oliver. And yes, I did just invent his nickname, but he likes it. So we're going to stick with it.
Yeah, I'm running with that. I might have to put that like on my Twitter account. You know, I might have to insert that courtesy of you.
Or a business card or something, you know.
Yeah, got to get that quick.
Yeah, that'll get that pop you're looking for. But a couple more questions. I was going to let people get to know you like we've been doing, and then we'll dive into some football and some other stuff. You have actually had some pretty cool opportunities, and you actually have another one coming up. You may be in the middle of it now, for all I know. But last year, you were actually at 11 Alive for a little while, correct?
Yeah, I was at 11 Alive. I got the opportunity. That was an absolute blessing, and it was sort of it was very beneficial, kind of life-changing, I would say. I got the opportunity to shadow and, you know, pretty much I was taken under the wing of DeMarco Morgan, who's now in New York City for CBS News. And so he left in the beginning of the summer. But, yeah, I got the opportunity to shadow DeMarco, and I met Brenda Wood and all of the people that worked there. And basically I saw the real deal. I saw how a newsroom works, the preparation, everything being, you know, on time and ready to go. And it was a great experience. I learned a lot. He talked to me about, you know, how this industry works and what it takes and the dedication. And most importantly, the journey of, you know, climbing to the top of where you want to be. And it was a great opportunity. I felt like I was in a room full of celebrities. You know, you see these guys on TV growing up. You know, I'm from Atlanta, so I see these people on TV growing up. And the next thing you know, I'm like sitting in an office chair next to them like, wow, I've seen you on my television. Can I have your autograph?
Exactly, right?
Yeah, that's something. I loved it.
That's something me and Rashad were talking about when he was on a couple weeks ago, is that for us, when we cover people, it's not, we don't get starstruck as much because part of it is you're doing a job or a service, but, you know, there is that little part of us that wants to just, like, jump up and down, like, holy crap, I'm talking to this guy, or can you believe who that is? And it's kind of hard sometimes that we have to not be a fan to cover the sport, but we get those opportunities at various times. We can kind of sneak in a high five or something.
Yeah, man, it's funny. I'm still adjusting to that because I get excited sometimes when I see people and I forget that, you know, sometimes I may have a job to do or I just have to act like a normal citizen. And, yeah, I see some cool people and, you know, I saw Sonny Perdue. I saw Sonny Perdue on a day that I was at the Southern versus Georgia State game. And it was just like, wow, that's Sonny Perdue. I wanted to shake his hand, but his security guard was about 6'2", 270 maybe. And so I didn't want to run up to him too fast because I may have not made it out of that situation. But yeah, it's hard, you know, seeing people that, you know, you admire or you've recognized before, but you have to be this even keel guy, which is sometimes tough.
Yeah, sometimes it is. I had something like that happen last season when RJ and Coach Hunter were up in the booth. You know, I think Dave had him on with him during the broadcast of the football game, but they're just walking around Media Row, and I kind of looked back. I was talking to a couple friends of mine. One of them helps me with some of the stuff here, but I was like, hey, you wouldn't believe who I'm standing beside. And I tell them who it is, and they were like, and one of them says, oh, picks or it didn't happen. And I was like, well, actually, I'm going to cut my phone off, and I'm going to leave it right here where my stuff is. I'm going to go talk to him because we don't really do that up here. We just kind of more or less, hey, how you doing? Ask a few things there, maybe see if they're available later for some, you know, sound bites or something. But I was like, yeah, I'm just going to go talk to them because up here we're all kind of on the same level.
Yeah, right. It's actually funny. Not a couple of days ago. The day before the Atlanta Hawks and the Boston Celtics played each other, the day before the series started, I saw RJ at a restaurant. And, you know, I walked in casually and I was like, wow, there's RJ over there. Isn't he supposed to be getting ready for a game? Because it was kind of late. So But it was cool. You know, I've gotten used to RJ and Ron, you know, Ryan Harrell when he was here, Nick Arbuckle, those guys. You know, I've been around them so much. It's just like, hey, what's up? See you later. I'll interview you probably in 2 days, so see you around.
Yeah, it's one of those. I'll ask you about this in a couple of days, just to let you know.
Yeah.
Now, of course, you know, we talk about some of the many people you've ran across. Who's your favorite celebrity that you've met?
Oh, man, that's crazy. Which one I've met, like had a conversation with, or I've been in their presence?
It could be you are on the same car on MARTA, or it could be you paid for their autograph, or it could be you interviewed them for, I mean, it could be anything.
I would have to say, that's a good one. Well, I would probably go with maybe Terrence Moore. Terrence Moore, he's basically a guru in sports journalism. He works for CNN, NBC, who else? He worked for the AJC for I don't know how long. I actually had lunch with him. I had an opportunity to have lunch with him, and that was a great experience. Now, I've been in the presence of Drake, the rapper and an artist. Oh my goodness! Yeah, I'm a Drake fan. I'm a big Drake fan, and I went to a concert, and I got in free because it's actually crazy. Rashad gave me the credential he had. He was actually covering the concert, so he couldn't go, so he gave the credential to me, and I was in the pit. Now, the pit is like when you're at the very front of the stage, and you can take pictures and see the artist on stage, like, up close and personal, as close as you can be. So when he came out, like, I'm a really big Drake fan. So, like, when he came out, I was like, oh, my God, that's Drake. I cannot believe that's him. And, like, I completely lost it. Like, I promise you, don't tell anybody this, but at the end of the concert, I almost cried because the moment was perfect. Like, he had this nice, slow song, and he had fireworks, like, at the top of the roof. And I was like, oh, my gosh, man. That was one of the best moments ever. So if you let me tell it, I've met Drake. If someone asks me, have you ever met Drake, I'll just say yeah. Because I felt like we had a connection. Like, he looked at me, I looked at him. You know, it was a good time.
Wow, that is that's pretty cool. So shout out to Rashad there.
Rashad came in.
I guess paying it forward.
He came in clutch. That was I owe him for life for that one. I gotta find something that I can top that with. But I don't know what I can do.
We'll have to come up with something. Maybe I can try to help you out with that. But who would you like to meet that you haven't yet?
Who would I like to meet? I would like to meet Stephen A. Smith. Stephen A. Smith is a guy. Well, I would like to meet Stephen A. Smith and Ray Lewis. Stephen A. Smith, because he's a guy who's basically I've watched since he started on ESPN. He, you know, his beginning is sort of like mine, and he's a guy that I look up to. I like his passion, his knowledge, his polish of words and how to be articulate and to explain himself with clarity, and I really admire that. And, you know, he's a guy that I look up to, and hopefully I can follow in his footsteps even a little bit. I would love to meet Ray Lewis for a lot of reasons. He's a guy who's a great motivational speaker. His stories, when he tells his stories about things he's been through life, it's just really motivating and inspiring. And he just makes you want to be a good person, and, you know, I love that energy about him. I've always looked up to Ray Lewis. Sometimes when he was playing, when they would have the camera inside of a defensive huddle, and the things he would say, it would just make you want to get up and run into the TVs or stuff like that. So those are two guys I really would like to meet.
Yeah, Ray Lewis is by far one of my favorite football players, and I agree with you, probably one of my favorite humans. You know, we all have our faults or our weird scenarios we get in, but, you know, there's a reason why Ray Lewis made it through all his, and Yeah, he's very motivation high on everything, and I only wish him the best. I know ESPN's dropping him for this season, so I mean, Ray, if you have nothing to do, I'm sure Impact Media can find something for you to do.
Oh, absolutely! I'm sure you can put him to work. I'm sure all he does is work out right now, so he needs another hobby besides working out. He might pop something, man. He's still going hard at it.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's see. Your favorite NFL team is the Falcons, correct?
Yes, it is the Atlanta Falcons. Yes, I am a Falcons fan. I'm proud to say it. I'm disappointed and angry and upset about the things that have happened in the past couple of years. But, yes, I am a Falcons fan.
Let's see. And you have the opportunity with CNN coming up this like I said, that may be the one you're in the middle of now even. But tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah. I got a great opportunity, extremely blessed and excited to – I'm interning with CNN. I'll start on June 6th. I'll be in the sports department. I'll be working with some pretty cool people. It's about 64 interns out of the entire department of Turner Broadcasting. It's about maybe – I want to say 5,000 people applied, so I was fortunate enough to get that. And, you know, I'm really excited to continue improving my craft in journalism and to become a great storyteller. And it's going to be an amazing experience working downtown and working with the real professionals. And, I mean, you know, hopefully I get to meet some cool people. I might run into, I don't know, maybe Wolf Blitzer or something like that. I might see him walking around one day. But, yeah, I'm really excited. I'm anxious. I'm nervous. But I think it's good nerves, and I'm excited to start. And you know what's funny? We've actually had – I am the third person to do an internship at CNN out of primetime sports. It's crazy. It's like we have a membership now in CNN. And, you know, the internship is very hard to get. We've had Jamal Goff. He did editorial. Homer De La Fuente, he did productions, and, you know, he did stuff like that for the sports department. And then I got inspired to apply to see if I can get it, and fortunately I got it. And you know, it's so we're keeping the ball rolling at Primetime Sports.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you know, I think that's a great opportunity. When I heard about it, I think I told you congratulations then, but congratulations again on that, because that's a super opportunity. And a lot of famous sportscasters started at CNN. Actually, Dan Patrick started there before ESPN got him.
Yeah, he did. That's exactly right. He started there. So hopefully I'm walking in the right footsteps. I know that Stephen A. Smith, once again a guy I look up to, he had an internship there. So it sounds like I'm on the right path, but you know, hopefully I can keep moving forward, and I'm excited to start and meet some famous people, and hopefully I won't get starstruck.
Exactly. It's easy to do sometimes, but you know, like I said, when we're being professional sports mediast, and it's that's a term I'm coming up with on my own. It's maybe I've been coming up with hashtags lately, so maybe sports mediast will be what I start referring to. Maybe the new generation of us coming through, you know, trying to be professional. We'll just celebrate on the inside, I guess.
Yeah, we'll do that between us. We'll do that after we do our work.
Exactly. And for those people who probably heard the crazy interruption or the weird sound on this end, that, of course, is because we were on the open tiki deck here at Impact Studios, and a downpour just started, so we had to move in. So hopefully we didn't jar anybody's headphones right now. We do appreciate you listening. But we are on live with Jared Oliver from Primetime Sports in the GSU Panther Zone. And, you know, I think we'll get into some football now, because I know football is the main thing you cover. Do you cover any other sports for Primetime?
Yeah, I've covered football. I've done baseball. I've done soccer. I've done volleyball. I've let me see what else. Softball. And did I say golf? I think I said golf.
You might have. I think you did.
Yeah. I think I've covered pretty much every sport at Georgia State at least twice. And I'm trying to think. What haven't I done? No, I did that too. Never mind. Yeah, that's pretty. I've done pretty much every sport. So yeah, it's fun.
That's awesome. But we'll get into football because that's what we know each other from the most, and like we said earlier, we hang out with the most.
Yeah. Football. I love football.
I mean, actually, we were both at the spring game, and I've had Rashad and David on as well. What's your overall takeaway from the spring game?
My overall take from the spring game is I think that they have a lot of potential to put everything together. Them coming off of that bowl game experience, I think that gives them a lot of motivation, and they see the opportunity that they can be a decent team in the Sun Belt and in Division I football. I think that was a big stepping stone. Moving into the spring game, there were a lot of things that I liked, especially the linebacking core. I think they were flying around, hitting, making tackles, and I think they may have one of the best linebacking cores maybe in the Sun Belt, even with Joseph Peterson leaving. But I think they have a great core at the linebacker. I think their defensive backs, it's still yet to be seen what they can do. Of course, the number one question is, the quarterback position with Nick Arbuckle leaving. It's hard to replace a guy who threw for 7,000 yards. Connor Manning was out there, and we didn't see – I don't think we got what we probably anticipated. I think he's still getting used to the system in his defense. But he kind of struggled with making decisions and trying to convert third downs. And, there were a lot of drives where he got off the field quick. But Aaron Winchester, I mean, he played absolutely amazing. And, he's a mobile guy. He knows the system. He was under Nick Arbuckle, so he was able to see and understand how he prepared for film and understand that so he could utilize that in the next season. And I think he coming out of the spring game, in my opinion, I think the job for Winchester is his to lose because, like I said, we don't know what Connor Manning can do. I don't think that the other quarterbacks are quite ready yet. I think it's between Connor Manning and Winchester because Winchester was just out there. He had confidence. He was having fun. Connor Manning was out there. He had a lot of checkdowns. I don't think he was seeing the entire field, maybe because he just doesn't have that chemistry yet. But I think the job for Aaron Winchester, it's his to lose. And I think it depends on where Trent Miles wants to take this offense because he's a mobile quarterback. Connor Manning is more of the pocket passer. But in the college game, if you have a mobile quarterback, your offense is more effective. But I think one of the things that Aaron Winchester is able to do is he's able to throw as well. At least he was able to do that against, his own defense. But, of course, we'll find out when they have to strap it up against another team. First game is Ball State. But, I think they have a lot of potential. Their first four games, first six games, I'm not too sure about the start they're going to have. I need to see all of it put together. They have Ball State, Air Force, Wisconsin, Appalachian State, and Texas State. If you really look at these games, they could start off maybe at 2-4. I can see them beating Ball State and Texas State, but, with Air Force, Wisconsin, and Appalachian State, those are some pretty tough ball games. So I'm anxious to see what they can do. Like I said, I think their linebacking core is one of the best with Alonzo McGee, Caleb Ringer. They have a new guy, Everett, who transferred last year from Old Dominion. And, I'm anxious to see what happens, but I think the number one question is how are they going to replace Nick Arbuckle?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And, actually, I gave Aaron Winchester – the nickname the Rifleman for obvious reasons because of his name, but because he come out slinging and he wasn't missing a whole lot on that day. And I had to give David credit because, his first that knee-jerk reaction after the first Winchester drive, and he was talking about how good he was, and look at this, and we were messing with him, especially I was leading the charge, and there's the knee-jerk reaction. It's one, it's one drive, and then he proceeded to just keep outdoing himself on each drive. So I apologize to David on that one. He was dead on that assessment, or he was really lucky, one or the other, or both maybe. But, yeah, I agree with you. it's Winchester's job to lose at this point. Amir continues. He just didn't look comfortable either. Him and Connor Manning both just didn't look like they were really grasping what they were, what the game plan really was. But you never know, because there's a lot of time between now and that game against Ball State.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Like you said, I don't see Amir like really progressing. I haven't seen him progress honestly since he got there. I mean, he's a great guy, well spoken, involved.
Yep.
He actually ran for SGA, Student Government Association. He's a great kid, but I just don't see him progressing or having a threat to taking that starting position yet. But another thing is how about the running back position? They have some depth now. I mean, they've got Kendrick Dorm, who's hopefully he can come back after that knee injury. DeMarcus Cousins, they have Kyler Neal, Taz Bateman. I mean, they've got some depth and some guys who all of them, they could be the starting running back. So I think that's something to look forward to and be excited about, because, you know, it's yet to be seen that Georgia State has had a really proficient running back. And also, how about Martavius Scott? Oh, my goodness. At the spring game,
right,
he completely balled out. I wonder if they're going to actually use him. I think they should, because, I mean, the guy, he's a pretty solid – he's a solid dude, and he can move. And he's very athletic. So I want to see what they do with him and how they utilize him in the offense, because, I mean, they're still deep at wide receiver, even though they lost Harden. But, I mean, they still got Robert Davis, Penny Hart, Lynn Smith, of course, now David Scott. They've got some guys at the – they have some guys at depth at the wide receiver position. So it's I'm really interested to see what they do with Martavius Scott.
Absolutely. And I got to throw Jonathan Effetti's name out there, because, as I mentioned before on this show, so far he seems to catch almost every touchdown in the preseason so far, and the spring practices and all the scrimmages. It seems like every time there's a wide receiver that catches a touchdown, it's Effetti. So, I mean, this guy might be another Penny Hart. Who knows?
Yeah, hey, it could happen, man. Like, the same way Penny Hart broke on the scene, it can happen again, because nobody expected Penny Hart to have the season that he had, being one of the best freshman wide receivers in the entire country. And it can definitely happen again.
Absolutely. And I seem to always forget this guy's name when I'm mentioning who I think is going to really break out. I was reminded earlier in the week, Ben Moore from GSU Panther Talk, I was actually talking to him about breakout people, and he said, look out for Ari Wirtz this year, that, you know, even though he's number two on the depth chart behind Keith Rucker, who by far is should be a number one on anybody's team. They said, you know, it's like a one and a 1A sometimes.
Yeah. And the thing is, Ari Wirtz gives them so much more versatility in the offense, because he's a guy that can line up on the outside and line up. He can line up on the next to an offensive tackle, and he's very dynamic. I've watched his highlight tapes in high school, and the guy is really a freak of nature. He has great hands. He doesn't drop almost anything. You know, I've seen some remarkable catches that he's made in practice and in the off season, and you know, some during his workouts. So I'm really excited to see what they do with him. In addition to having Keith Rucker, they can do some pretty interesting things, maybe similar to what the New England Patriots have done in the past, having those two tight end sets, because you have two really good tight ends that can really help your offense and improve, and so you can have longer drives and convert on those third and fives and those 39s, or even longer than that. So I think having Ari Wirtz, a guy that can line up on the line of scrimmage and on the outside, who has pretty decent speed, is a threat to have, you know, considering that they just lost Joel Ruiz. He graduated, but I think he's a little more athletic than Joel, I would say. Maybe not the most he's probably not one of the most technical tight ends that they've ever had, but I think he's probably one of the best athletes that they have, and he has a lot of versatility. So expect him to make a lot of noise this season. At least I do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And a couple football notes. I'm sure you're aware of these as well. But I think it's the starting center. Gabe Mobley has been tabbed to the preseason Remington watch list for one of the most outstanding linemen. It may actually be for center I can't remember exactly. Most outstanding center in Division 1A. And if anybody's ever met Gabe Mobley, he is by far the recipient of the award. So being on a preseason list like this, that just tells you there's no question mark at that position for this team.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, he's a great athlete. He's very consistent. And, I mean, a guy like that, you have to tip off your hat to the amount of work they put in and the amount of consistency that they have. And that guy, he's very deserving of that award, and I hope the best for him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I believe he had the Dean's List from the fall and all that. I mean, super smart guy, real big guy. I think he's 6'2", 6'3", like 285, 290. Big, good size. And center is so hard to me because you not only have to snap the ball at the right time and be able to read what the defense is trying to do and relay that to your teammates, but as soon as you take your hand off the ball, you know you're going to get hit. So that's it. Just to me, it takes a real special person to play center, and I think Mobley's one of those special people.
Yeah, absolutely. I take my hat off to him. You know, he's down there in the trenches every single play, so it's not an easy job.
No, it's definitely not. It's definitely a lot easier for us to stand on the sideline and talk about it, right?
Absolutely. That's why I belong, nice and safe. I don't have to worry about my head getting knocked off. I love being over there.
Right. The only concussions we get is when we're not paying attention next to the cheerleaders, right?
Yeah, or I'm eating all the popcorn that they give us for free.
Yes, maybe we need to start showing up early and staying late and running some laps around the dome to work off all that popcorn we eat.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you. And it's funny because sometimes I get there early, but it's still not early enough because sometimes the popcorn and the pizza, it's already gone. And I'm like, how early do I have to be here? So if we have a 3:00 game, if kickoff is at 3, I get there at 1, sometimes the pizza and the popcorn is already gone. Or it's cold, and I'm like, wow, so do I have to get here at 12? Sometimes it's very disappointing because, you know, I'm really anxious to get to the press box and have some pizza or some popcorn.
Yeah, I'll have to start saving you some because if it is a 3:00 game, then I usually get there about 11 or 12. And sometimes sometimes it's there when I get there, and I'm like, wow, you guys are on it today.
Yeah, right, exactly. Maybe you should save me some, man. Help a brother out.
Yeah, I'll start I'll put on my Jared Oliver mask and walk over there and sign out. You just have to tell me what kind of food you want, and so I can sign it out. And I'll have like 4 or 5 things of popcorn out there. I'll have to wrestle it away from Doug, though.
Oh yeah, man. He's the monster when it comes to the popcorn. He just chunks it down, and he's so focused while he does it. So yeah, you might have to tell him to back off my popcorn.
You know, I will do that, and we'll go ahead and make that public service announcement now. Doug, you can have all the popcorn you want. Just save us some.
Exactly. Don't touch my popcorn.
I'm sure that's going to go over so well. That's going to be so much fun here in a minute. I'm looking forward to my phone blowing up in a minute. But it's fine. Doug, you know we like you. You're awesome, dude, and we enjoy having you up there. But any chance we get to mess with anybody, we're going to do it.
Yeah. He's the GOAT. He's Mr. Reliable when it comes to Georgia State.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's one of the guys, and we appreciate everything he does. Now, the other football tidbit I wanted to mention is with all the hoopla from obviously my favorite college, University of Michigan, and Coach Harbaugh wanting to have all these satellite camps, there's kind of been a hit-or-miss reception all over the place about if they happen or if you can do them and all that. Well, as soon as Coach Miles got the okay that he could do it, he has scheduled quite a few of these satellite camps, and he's bringing in some pretty big dogs to come hang out with us. Representatives from Missouri, North Carolina State, Ole Miss, Tennessee, Southern California, Wisconsin, Mercer, and Penn State will all be hanging out at various satellite camps all around the Atlanta metro area later this week. I think they kick off in a couple weeks. So if you get a chance to go check these out, by all means do. I'm going to try to make a couple of them.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it depends. It depends who you ask. And with the satellite camps, and, you know, a lot of coaches don't like it, especially with the whole Jim Harbaugh thing coming down to the SEC, having satellite camps, giving kids the opportunity. If you look at it from one way, it's a good opportunity for a kid that doesn't have the access to travel, let's say a kid that lives in South Georgia doesn't have the resources or the money to travel to a university of Michigan, a Michigan or a Michigan State. And I think it's a great opportunity if you look at it from that perspective. But then if you look at it from a coach down here in the South, they may say that, hey, man, you can't have these Big Ten, these Big 12 schools coming down here trying to take our recruits because, I mean, let's be honest, the South is the melting pot for great football players. Of course, you have Texas and California as well. But, I mean,
right.
You know, this is the SEC country. So if you look at it from that perspective, and you can understand why coaches in the SEC maybe get upset. Like we've seen Nick Saban, he doesn't like the fact that he has a guy who has a lot of swagger, Jim Harbaugh, to come down here and you know try to grab these kids. But I think if you look at it from the recruit standpoint, you know everyone doesn't have the benefits or the resources to go to a camp that's you know 200-300 miles away. And they're not able to showcase what they have, or they may have a kid that can play, but they haven't seen them because they're not maybe a top 100 recruit. So it's two different
right.
sides of the platform. But, I mean, Georgia State, they've had Penn State coaches come down here before. They've done it in the past. But, I mean, I think it's a really good thing for Georgia State because they can grab kids from different regions of the country now, and they can build a product that they're still trying to complete. So they have different kids from different areas. And I think it's a great opportunity for Georgia State. And hopefully they can get some kids that they may have not been on their radar.
Exactly. It's all about opportunity, especially with recruitment. That's actually where probably 90%, if not 100% of the entire coaching staff is now. They're all out on recruiting trips. And there's only so many of them. So when you have these satellite camps, you actually get a chance to, you know, like you said, there's going to be one late June in Moultrie, Georgia. Well, if our scouts didn't have a chance to go down to Moultrie, down to Colquitt County High School or anything like that, and see anybody, now those same kids will be in that area, you know, so we can check out then. Because, I mean, there's only so many scouts, there's only so many coaches. It's just like so many media members. Sometimes we can't cover everything.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. And, I mean, me – I'm a true diehard UGA fan. I'm so excited about what's coming up for this season. But I mean, if you look at it from that perspective, I don't want any coaches coming down here trying to take kids that want to come to UGA. No, you can go away. But I have to look at it from the bigger picture that it's all about the kid and him getting the opportunity that he may deserve. If he's able to play, he deserves that scholarship or at least the opportunity to be looked at by a big time school. But, that's my opinion on that.
Exactly. And, of course, you can go to GeorgiaStateSports.com. It's under the football section. It's probably under the main headlines, too. You can check out the camp dates and locations. And, you know, I just thought about this. This is a different angle. We're always trying to come up with different angles to attack this. What if when some of these schools come in, they don't just, you know, look at potential players they make and transfer in? I mean, what if they – kind of start looking around at some media coverage guys. Maybe they'll try to work.
Oh, you mean like if they recruit us?
Yeah. Why not, right?
Well, I mean, hey, if they want to pay me, I'm taking.
Exactly.
I'll take the offer. I'll look it over with my agent that I don't have. But we can, you know, get into it and see what they can offer me, and you know, we'll see if I'm asked to go to Michigan State and cover the Spartans, or, you know, if I'm asked to go to, I don't know, Delaware State, if the perks are good, then we may have a nice conversation, you know? I mean, you know, it doesn't hurt to recruit a journalist every now and then.
Exactly, especially a really good one. The two tidbits on that, if you need an agent, you know, I did go to school to be one, even though that's not what my degree is in. It's actually just marketing. But I think when I realized what went into being an agent, I realized I like media side a little better. It's a little more fun. And two, you being a big UGA guy, if Ole Miss wanted to hire you, are you okay covering the Ole Miss Rebels?
You know what, man? That's a tough one.
Tennessee, for that matter.
Wow.
I mean, and if we want to go all SEC, then Missouri's there too.
Man, the benefits would have to really be in my favor to do that. That would be tough, but, you know, like, you know, sometimes you have to do things you don't want to do. But it would be hard for me to go to Tennessee. Ole Miss, yeah, oh, my gosh, in Florida. Oh, don't even get me started on that one. But, you know, I may have to sacrifice my fandom for a nice paycheck, a pretty penny.
Yeah, it's a tough dilemma sometimes, but I think you can pull off the orange. I don't know about the green and orange. I don't know that green's your color.
Yeah, green doesn't look good on me. Orange doesn't look good on me either, man. it doesn't bring out my skin tone really well. I don't think that's a place where I'll have a lot of fun, especially if they beat UGA. I would have to pretend I'm excited and deliver a nice newscast. I think red just happens to be my favorite color, so it works out well.
Yeah, you know what? Royal blue and white's not some bad colors either. I enjoy those.
Oh yeah, hey man, look, I love my school. I love Georgia State. Everything about it. I mean, you know, it's the people, the diversity. I'm in a top 10 market. I'm in the city. It's always something to do. You know, if I was in Athens, you know, I would be trying to find stuff to do, except go to the, you know, maybe to the bars. But, you know, after a while, that gets old. You know, I'm loving it downtown in Atlanta. This is where I was born, so I love Georgia State. Go Panthers!
Absolutely. And before I get you out of here, we did talk about it a little bit, but it was kind of a fan question sent in as well, because it seems like every time I have a guest, I have at least a couple fan questions. We covered some of the other stuff, but. And unfortunately, I have no idea who sent this one in, but it's not too bad. But they want to know what goes into your style and fashion choices, if it's just a what happens to appeal to you that day, or if there's, you know, what goes into you trying to make your fashion choices.
Well, what I try to do is, you know, I try to switch it up every now and then. You know, sometimes you don't want to have the black blazer and the black pants as well. Sometimes wear the black blazer with the gray or the silver pants, or, you know, sometimes, you know, I try to wear as many colors as I can, but I don't want to look like a rainbow. I like to, you know, be a little vibrant. You know, it's you know, I take a little pride into how I dress, and you know, I think everyone should to some degree. You know, I tell you, one of my favorite guys I like to look at that dresses is Ryan Seacrest. Ryan Seacrest is one of the most fashionable GQ guys out there, and, you know, like, that's one of the people I look up to, you know, him being doing what he does. A little different style though, but yeah, I love trying to wear a lot of not loud colors, but colors that, you know, kind of stand out. They make you, you know, you have to find colors that look good on you. Everyone has different colors that look good on them. So I try to, basically what I do is I look at magazines and I say, okay, I want to look like that tomorrow. So let me try to do that the best way I can.
Exactly. And Ryan Seacrest is from right here in the Atlanta area as well. So shout out Ryan Seacrest, because you don't get enough media coverage. So, you know, hey, and if Ryan, you want to be on the show sometime, we'll happily have you on. And we'd love to talk to you.
If you ever have Ryan Seacrest on the show, you better call me, man. You better not let that slide, because, look, I'm coming in to see Ryan. But, yeah, he's a busy guy, so that'll be a tough cookie.
I will more than likely have to travel to meet up with him, but I will happily do that. We will talk as he's running through an airport terminal if need be.
Yeah, good luck with that one, man.
Hey, I could run a little bit. I don't know how far. It depends on how far the flight is, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And plus, his security probably is very, very tough. So might be a little obstacle course.
Absolutely. And like you said, you cover a little bit of baseball as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, what has your overall thoughts been on the baseball season this year?
It's been a tough season. You know, it's pretty obvious, 23 and 29. 9-18 in conference. They finished 10th in the Sun Belt. They had a lot of injuries this year, especially in the pitching area. Joey Roach got hurt. towards the end of the season. It was just hard for them to get in a good rhythm this year. I mean, for them to make the conference tournament, they would probably have to win all three games against Georgia Southern, their last series coming up, and they need some help as well. You got Texas State, Arkansas State, UL Monroe all ahead of Georgia State. So Arkansas is already 11-16. Arkansas State is 11-16. And UL Monroe was 10-17, and we've got Georgia State sitting there with a 9-18 record in the conference. So I don't know if they're going to make the tournament. It's unfortunate, but it's been one of those seasons. Just it really hasn't been a great season for them. But and plus they're losing, I believe, 10 seniors if I remember correctly. So they're going to have a lot of rebuilding to do, and hopefully it works out. I mean, I'm sure Coach Frady and his guys have a plan to get that program running back again. Because I mean, they've had a handful of successful players individually, but you know, it's been a rough season. It happens, and you know, we'll see what happens with this in-state rivalry series coming up with Georgia Southern. They may sneak in the tournament if they sweep them or get a couple of wins and have some losses to help them out.
Yeah, absolutely. And some notes that were passed along to me earlier in the week. Obviously, like you said, Georgia State will finish their regular season with a three-game series with our in-state rival, Georgia Southern. It'll be Thursday through Saturday. Thursday and Friday's games are at 7 p.m. Eastern, and Saturday is a 1 p.m. first pitch. One point is on the line in the inaugural rivalry series between the two schools, which the one point really won't matter. It's just pride at this point because Georgia State leads 13-6 in that. And some news and notes as far as the players. Shortstop Justin Jones is hitting like 370 or something in his last 30 games, including being 13-29 in the last 8 games. It's finally good to see his bat come around. But, yeah, the injury bug hit them, and it hit them hard this year. And, I mean, it made it to where the leading pitcher was the closer, Wayne Wages, who they brought in to start, you know, to start a lot of games. And I think he actually showed a lot of people that he can throw for 9 innings just as good as he can 1 inning.
Yeah, I mean, I was a little surprised as well. You know, in their pitching, they got really dinged up, but he was able to, you know, put the heat to the, you know, he was able to put the heat out there, and he held it down for, you know, 9 innings, and he's been he's been really consistent, and I think they found a guy that they can work with. But like I said, you know, as far as the overall team in this season, it's been a down season. You know, they were 4-12 on the road this year, 19-7 at home. They've lost their last 3 games. It's just been one of those seasons.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, things like that happen. You know, you can't always have everything. This team is done as good as it could, given, you know, the bad breaks that they were dealt. Coach Frady proves once again to me why he's one of the best coaches probably in college for any sport. I mean, it's not the band of misfit toys. Don't get me wrong. There's still tons of talent, but when you're having to get position players to pitch and you're having to ask bullpen guys to start, starters to come in for an inning here, first baseman to play third base, and you're having to shuffle people because of the injury. I mean, this team, to me, you know, excelled as opposed to, you know, faltering.
Well, yeah, that's a good way to look at it. You know, just in my opinion, I think they were able to be successful in different ways that we didn't came out. And, they were competitive in some. You know, I think they've only been swept once this season. I think they played competitively. They just weren't able to close out games.
Yeah, I think they were only swept once, and I think they were only shut out just like 2 or 3 times total, which is in college is great because every offense seems to get a couple runs.
Yeah, definitely.
But, yeah, overall, if they make the tournament, I think that'd be fantastic. If they come just a little bit short, you know, I hate it for the seniors, but given the crop that I'm hearing maybe coming in, this team's going to continue to go up just like all the other teams are. Every Georgia State team right now seems to be on fire and on the incline.
Yeah, man, things are looking really good. It's a great time to be at Georgia State right now, considering, you know, what the football team did. The basketball team had a mediocre year. But aside from that, all of the other sports are coming up as well. Volleyball didn't have that great of a year, court volleyball, but sand volleyball, they went to the first ever beach volleyball tournament, and they got bounced out by USC, who eventually won the national championship, right?
I believe so.
So, I mean, hey, and of course the tennis team, they did well this year, the track team.
Jared, are you still with us there? We're going to see if we can get Jared back in there. Jared, are you still with us? But, yeah, to go with what he was saying, we're going to try to get him back on for sure. But, yeah, to go with what he's saying, every team is on the up and up. The basketball team kind of took a small step back, but with all the talent they lost, you know, I still felt like they had a good season. Coach Hunter had them all ready to play. And, you know, like I said, every team seemed to do exceptionally well in tennis and in golf and in men and women. They were. They were competing not only for team titles, but they were competing for individual titles as well. Let's see. Jared, do we
Hello?
Have you back on?
Hey.
Okay, we can hear you now.
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess
what
these storms
there,
are playing with you too.
Hey, man, you hung up on me, man. I guess you got tired of me talking.
Hey, I don't hang up on people. I'm gonna blame this storm here.
Yeah, man, I don't know what happened, but I'm back.
I was trying to finish up what I think you were going at there. That every team at Georgia State, every team did extremely well this year. Obviously, they took a small step back just because of all the talent they lost with RJ and some of the other guys that moved on to other levels and other places, and or graduated for that matter. In tennis and in golf, and men and women, they were going for individual titles just as much as they were doing team titles. I mean, it's a good time to be around GSU.
Absolutely, man. Hey, I'm enjoying it while I'm here because I know when I leave, when I come back in a couple of years, I'm going to see all these new buildings and renovations, and I'm going to see probably the sports arena just jam packed, and I'm going to be like, man, why wasn't it like this when I was here? So I'm enjoying I'm enjoying the journey right now because I know it's going to be crazy in a couple of years when I come back.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I've ran into that when I went back to events at Kennesaw State where I spent some time a couple years back, and I go back now and I go, okay, well that's where my money went. A nice facility, and wow, I've never seen it full. This is awesome.
Yep, you never knew you were paying for that, but you were.
Yeah, I do the same thing at my old high school, so I can go, man, that is a really nice building. You're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. I didn't even know I was paying for that, but hey, you can have it anyway.
Exactly. Everybody that works hard gets rewarded, even if they don't get to see what it is, so it's always good when we can go back and see that. And, Jared, it's been great having you on. I hope I didn't keep you too late, keep you from doing anything or eating or anything. Cause I know we were talking about that earlier, that as hectic as today's been, we usually don't eat much when we're really busy.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm about to catch this. I'm about to catch some highlights on ESPN tonight and just kind of hang out. I have to get up tomorrow, you know, back to it. But thanks for having me on. I love what you're doing. Love your show. I hope to see you around when the football season starts, college football. I'm ready for it. I've missed college football so much. I don't know why, but I've missed it more than ever for some reason. But, yeah, thanks for having me on, and I love what you're doing, and I hope I can be back on soon.
Oh, definitely. We will we'll definitely have you guys back on. And before I forget, I don't know if you guys knew about it. The Pigskin Preview is coming up June 13th. I want to tell everybody else about it if you get a chance to attend this. This is where pretty much all the head coaches and a couple main feature players of all the Georgia colleges are going to get together. I believe it's in Macon, and it's just a big, like, it's kind of like SEC Day, but it's like all Georgia schools and stuff like that. It should be a lot of fun. I know I'm going to try to be there. I know a lot of you guys may be trying to be there as well. But, you know, football is back, as I like to say, and that's one way to really get to know everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we'll be down there with a camera and a videographer and probably a reporter. Hey, it may even be me, but hey, if it's occurring, Primetime Sports will be there.
Absolutely. And appreciate you being on, Jared. Like I said, we'll definitely have you on probably in the near future, especially during the summer. There's a lot of fun things we can talk about and get into, and especially as the NFL season kicks up as well, we'll have you on to talk some Falcons and some other things.
Absolutely, man. You know where to find me. Hopefully we can have some good conversations about the Falcons. You know, it's been a rough couple of years for me, but, hey, I'm sticking with them. I'm sticking with them. It's been frustrating, but I'm still claiming the Falcons.
Hey, absolutely. Nothing wrong in that. And at least you know when the new building opens, you can afford to eat.
Oh, wow. Yes, absolutely. $2 for a drink and a hot dog? Man, I got to buy a ticket. I have to go. I have to.
Exactly. But like I said, it's been great having
you. Is it just for opening day?
No. That's all. That's the whole time, I believe. That's for the whole inaugural season. They may jump it after that, but Rich McKay said the other day that was Arthur's doing the whole way. They were trying to do something similar to that. Arthur Blank got a hold of it, and appreciate it, Mr. Blank. But he said, no, I'm slashing prices. I'm taking them back to where they used to be so that, you know, a family of four, five, six, for friends even, can afford to come here and eat and not stop at Wendy's on the way in.
Well, hey, there you go. Rise up. Rise up.
Exactly. They want to at least make sure you're full when you're being entertained by the team.
Oh, man. Yeah, let's get some W's while we're eating, though. Let's get some W's, man.
Exactly. I do think they're going to be a lot better this year. But, you know, we do got the Falcons Zone show coming up next week. Maybe we'll try to get you on there and we'll talk some Falcons.
All right. Sounds good to me, man.
But have a great rest of your evening. I appreciate you being on, and we'll see you on later down the road.
All right, man. Have a good night.
And that was Jared Oliver from Primetime Sports. They do a fantastic job. You know, we've had on Caleb Johnson. We've had on Rashad Milligan. And we've had on David Shealy as well. All those guys are spectacular. They're, like I like to say, they're not only good at what they do in covering Georgia State, but, I mean, they're just good humans. They do a lot of good stuff. They really help people out when they can. And it was fun getting to have him on, even though the weather tried to play havoc with us. So as we get into the last few minutes of the show here, it's fun to look outside and see that the weather has absolutely cleared up now that we are almost out of here. I want to thank Mother Nature for a guest hosting this show. But that's going to do it for me. So make sure to check out the games for down in Georgia. Cheer on our GSU baseball team. But I'm Jeremy the Impact York. We'll see you guys next week on GSU Panther Zone. Go Panthers!
Was that not clear without the bam? Yeah, okay. Bam! What?